You're a big fan of Don Beebe, right? Former teammate. Is he still coaching high school?
No, he's coaching college.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot he's coaching college. That's right. He's coaching college now down in Illinois. Well, he's got a good relationship with our guy Homer here at ESPN Milwaukee. And he's had a really good relationship with Homer for a while. So, you know, occasionally Biebs will show up on Homer-related shows. I've had the pleasure of talking to Biebs back when I was hosting Homer and Gabe with Homer. Well, and here's what Biebs said yesterday on the Homer Hour when it comes to Jordan Love and needing more good skill players around him.
Well, I like Jordan. I really do. You know, I think that you go from Brett, you go from Aaron and Jordan. That's a lot of pressure put on him, and I think he's handled it well. I think we got to get some pieces around him, though. I just don't think we don't have enough playmakers around him like Brett had and what Aaron had throughout the years. So, and defensively, we've talked about this many times. I think it was better, but we got to get better there too as well. And the last thing I'll throw in there, we need another guy like a Desmond Howard, you know, a special teams guy that's a game-breaking person every time the ball's in his hands with a kick return or a punt return. That bodes very well in playoff runs and Super Bowls.
And I think that's what they're kind of hoping that Mecole Hardman is in terms of the Desmond Howard in the last part. But do you agree with Biebs? I think that's kind of where we've been at, where you look at what Brett had, you look at what Aaron had early in his tenure, and there's certainly potential with what the Packers have right now, but it doesn't match what Aaron and Brett had early in their careers.
I think if you listen to Biebs and what he says, he's kind of echoing what we've been saying. And the way I translate Biebs is like, this team isn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not there. And because when he talked about the receivers, he was almost not exasperated. That's too hard a word, but kind of like, what are we doing? You need more weapons around you. So, and that translates for me, like, Goody's moving at a different pace than I think we are. Which is okay. I don't know if it's okay. My frustration with him is he doesn't use all the tools that he has in his tool belt when trying to make this team better. Because sometimes you got to roll the dice, Gabe. Sometimes you have to take chances, and sometimes they don't work out.
Well, I think he did. I think he did take a chance that players were going to develop, and they didn't develop the way he thought in year two.
But this was kind of Ted's thing. Remember Ted early on?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much early on because Ted won the Super Bowl early on, but he refused to use the tool of free agency. Right?
Yeah, but
remember
those
years?
Yeah, but I mean, Ted was selective, and when Ted was, he signed Charles Woodson, who's arguably the second greatest free agent they ever signed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one defensive player of the year, not winning a Super Bowl without Charles. I mean, obviously, Reggie being number one on that list. He added Julius Peppers later in his career as a veteran that certainly had an impact on the team in 2014 when they made that run. So Ted was selective, but it is just a fact that Brian Gutekunst has used free agency more than Ted Thompson did. Like, he added two starters in free agency this year, Chu. I know it's not the positions that we wanted them to be, but he added two starters. Like that, Ted. Yeah. I mean, he added two starters this year, added two starters last year, added four back in 2019. Like, he's just used free agency more. Hasn't used it better because he hasn't hasn't had the opportunity to get somebody like Charles. But those are once in a generation type of guys that become available.
Joshy, can you just play the receiver part again? Is that possible to do in your tool belt of tricks?
Just isolate Don Beebe talking about the receivers. Josh
Aaron
is working
on it. And Jordan, that's a lot of pressure put on him, and I think he's handled it well. I think we got to get some pieces around him, though. I just don't think we don't have enough playmakers.
You see what I mean with the around him?
Yeah.
Gabe, we got to get more. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Receivers score touchdowns. We need more touchdowns.
But
right? And I know you can't. I'm basically saying, looking back now, he should have went and got Devontae, because if Devontae's still thought of as a top 20 receiver, and the closest guy you have on that list was 45, Jaden Reed, dude, that is not – it's not good enough. It's not good enough. You know, I look through all my years. We played – you know, obviously we had Sterling,
yep,
right, who was probably the best receiver in the game.
I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He was one of the best of the era, without a doubt.
And then we had nothing. And then we had nothing. We had nothing. And still won nine games.
But
and then Robert gets better to eventually where he took over.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and then you add Biebs.
And you guys, when Robert became the number one, you guys won 11 games in 95. Like, he had like almost 1,500 yards receiving. I would argue the biggest difference isn't the use of free agency in Ron, Ted, and Goody. The ability to draft wide receivers, which makes me wonder, and Joshy, you would know this more, and I know they borrow some of this from, you know, like Ted Thompson, but given Goody's track record at drafting wide receivers, would he ever think about changing the parameters in which he uses to draft those guys? Because he hasn't drafted, I mean, again, you look at what Ron did. Brought in Robert. Then he had Antonio Freeman after that. Say what you want about Bill Schroeder. Bill Schroeder's been more productive.
Bill Schroeder had a couple good years.
He's been more productive than anybody Brian Gutekunst has ever drafted, and that was an era where you didn't throw the football necessarily.
And Billy was a free agent.
Yeah.
He wasn't even a draft pick.
Donald Driver. And then you see the guys that Ted drafted. Greg Jennings, Jordy, Randall, Devontae. Throw James Jones in that mix. Like, there isn't anybody who holds a candle to any of those guys. Since we saw him take over.
Interestingly enough, the guys that Goody has drafted that have been either second or third round, like a higher pick, they've broken his thresholds, be it athletic testing, age, stuff like that. Like, Amari Rodgers fits nothing of what Goody typically drafts. Jayden Reed was also outside of that. I think he probably did get in a little bit just based on some of the other factors, but to me, it's a lack of commitment and valuing the position versus, like, maybe these thresholds are doing... Because the guys he's been rumored interest in, like Brandon Ayuk, and, like, those guys have been talented. They just won't commit the picks necessary to get those guys. They want that guy who's now a first-rounder to hopefully fall to them in the second round. And that's just not really where the NFL is right now with playmakers. And I think that's their biggest disadvantage. The league has wisened up to, we need to take these guys higher, we need to prioritize them, and Goody is still stuck drafting the way he's always drafted.
I mean, there's been a pivot in the wide receiver position when it comes to importance, because Gabe, we were talking, I can't remember if we were on the air or in break. I mean, cornerbacks used to be paid more than receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And handily. Now receivers are paid buku dollars compared to corners.
Yeah, it's
which means
after quarterback,
that's the more important position than the cornerback position.
Correct. That is correct.
I don't know if Goody has figured that out yet. You know?
See, the thing is, I think he's figured it out. I think he, like, I just think he believes incorrectly and he doesn't value it enough. Like, he just, his priorities are elsewhere. And with what we've seen the past 2-3 years, isn't that a good enough indication of maybe you need to adjust your planning? Like, the proof is in the pudding to me. You're not good enough at that position, and you haven't committed enough resources to it.
So production-wise, the best receiver he's probably drafted is Jayden Reed.
Yes.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling is the second best in terms of production.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest difference. It's not the use of free agent. It's and again, none of those guys were first round picks that I mentioned. Robert wasn't, Free wasn't, Donald certainly wasn't. None of the guys that Ted Thompson did, obviously, because they famously haven't taken one since 2003.
Yeah.
So it's the ability to find those wide receivers and hitting on those mid to late round picks that I think has really what separated the predecessors from Goody, especially at that position.
That's why it's such a huge year for Jayden Reed, because you got to show improvement and you got to show consistency. Because right now, where are you guys with re-signing him? I don't know.
I'm glad that decision doesn't have to be made for another 2 seasons.
Yeah. I need him to prove he's not a gadget player for me to prioritize him.
And that's the way they used him. Yes. Like, Chewy, when you see the numbers of how often he was on the field when it was just two receiver sets, which makes me wonder, honestly, if this year, what we just had the conversation with Jason about the Packers probably going to be going to a lot more two tight end sets and using the tight ends as weapons. when they went two tight ends and only had two receivers on the field last year, mm-hmm. Jaden Reed, it was like less than 10% of the time.
He basically didn't play.
Like, he wasn't out there unless they went three wide receivers so he could be in the slot.
That smells gadget-y to me.
Exactly.
Like you said.
And then a lot of his targets and touches come around the line of scrimmage. Obviously, mm-hmm. we've seen him make plays downfield, and those have been encouraging, but that's not their desired way to use him.
Yeah, which, again, is a valuable thing to have in in your, you know, as Chewy's said 1,000 times in the segment, on your tool belt. Like, that's mm-hmm. a good thing to have, but you need to have other players around that to supplement that to make that even more valuable.
Yeah.
Chewy does have power rankings, or maybe it's a top 8 list. Who can say for sure? We're going to find out what that list is coming up next, but I do want to tell you about our friends at Fifth Third Bank. With a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, we've been serving businesses, organizations, and individuals in the area with a longstanding commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. Experience the difference. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To find out what Chewy has planned for us this week, it is time for our weekly power rankings.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All right, in honor of the Masters, finishing up on Sunday, I'm going golf theme.
All right.
Went with SB Nation, website we all visit time to time, correct?
Sure.
And I picked this one for spite. So all I want from you guys is the greatest 10 golfers of all time, ranked. And your hint, Gabe?
Yeah.
You're not going to be a fan.
Okay? All right.
So with that being said, you got 12 guesses to get 7.
Oof. All right. Makes me wonder if this is going to be harder than I think. So Jack's on the list.
Jack is two.
All right. Tiger.
Tiger is numero uno.
All right. Excellent.
All right. Hold on. Pause.
So
right
why would
there.
I not be happy? My guy's number one.
Let me ask you that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
How?
Because he won all four majors consecutively. He's the most dominant golfer of all time. Jack was playing against plumbers and firemen.
Josh?
You want me to disagree with that?
Majors. 17 to 12.
It's a different game.
Okay, so first of all, it's 18 to 15.
You know what? You guys just don't like old people.
No, I mean, what Tiger did was more impressive.
Okay, you got two with two guesses. Keep going.
So Tiger, Jack, Gary Player.
Gary Player is 8. Okay. And annoying.
What about Sam Snead?
Slinging Sammy Snead is number 4.
Ooh.
Do we guess Arnold?
We have not guessed the King. Arnold Palmer.
The King is 5.
Okay, so we have 5 so far. Ben Hogan.
Ben Hogan is 3. Now, is this all because of my hint?
No. Tiger and Jack have the most majors of all time.
These are just all the golfers
Arnold,
we know.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer's one of the greatest. Ben Hogan, Gary Player, both have the career Grand Slam. Like, this is just, I mean, you asked me a golf-themed question.
Yeah, but you just called them firemen. You just called them firemen. So why aren't you picking, like, Ernie Els or?
Because Ernie's only got, I mean, again, like, because you got to get, first of all, you got to get close to that stratosphere in order to have those conversations.
Yeah, but
like,
you don't
Tiger
believe this
Jack,
list. Yeah, but
I
do. You don't believe that? No, you don't.
What, you think I think Rory should be on this list?
You just called him firemen.
A lot of the people Jack played against were plumbers and firemen. Yeah. The fields were not as deep as they were when Tiger played. And guess what? The fields are even deeper now.
Because the equipment's so much better. It's so much easier to play golf today than it is back then.
Look, I mean, I'm ready to have that conversation if you actually want to have it.
All right, keep going. All right, so you got 2, 4. You got 6. All you need is one more.
Yeah, so I will... I mean, would they put Bobby Jones on this list?
I was
going to
say Bobby Jones was the last name I had.
Bobby Jones is number 6.
Okay.
So my hint was too good, basically.
Well, no, I mean, you asked me a golf-themed question. I'm a golf nerd.
All right.
Like, what do you want? What do you expect from me? I host a golf show.
Okay.
Who else is on this list?
Who else is going to be? I mean, so Phil would have an outside chance with his 6 majors. I don't know if he made it. Trying to think.
Phil
who else.
Is number 7.
Okay,
so
Phil
got
did
1
make it.
Through 8. You got 1 through 8. On a list you don't believe.
Were the guys that are remaining on the list born before 1950?
No. Maybe. No. How old am I?
Gene Sarazen?
Nope.
He's got the career Grand Slam.
I don't know if you'll get the final 2.
If you don't know it, so I'm going to say we met.
Ooh.
He was a popular golfer, had a lot of success back when Bobby Jones played. Francis Ouimet was his name.
No.
I
thought you were going to say we met this golfer
a
while ago.
Lee nope. Trevino?
Nope.
And a handful of majors.
Joshy, are you done?
Yeah. I've only got was there a Hagen?
Walter Hagen?
Walter Hagen?
Yeah. Not on the list. So I didn't think
Did they put, why am I blanking on his name, won 11 tournaments in a row?
Gene Sarazen?
No. They still do the tournament in Texas after him. It's going to be coming up here relatively soon. Why am I blanking on his name? Won the most PGA Tour events of all time, tied with Tiger with 82.
I got nothing.
God, I'm blanking on his name. Who are the last 2? Who are the last 2?
I'm back.
Chewy? Oh, okay.
Oh.
I lost you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like, you were looking over, I'm like, what the hell is he looking at?
Yeah.
I was trying to read lips. Didn't work real well, though.
Who are the last 2
What were
names?
Your guesses?
We ran out.
Spaniard, Gabe.
Oh, Seve. That's embarrassing. I should have had Seve.
Seve, and then Greg Norman choke.
Nick Faldo. Okay.
Every year they show the Masters champions.
Seve should be on this list. That's embarrassing that I did not get Seve. Like, I'm embarrassed that I did not. I don't know about Nick Faldo.
Nick Faldo has the biggest dome I've ever seen in my life.
He's got a big head. Yeah.
Every time they take that Masters champions picture, his noggin stands out with a sore thumb.
I like Nick Faldo, though.
I don't dislike him. It's just an impressively large cranium.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a big brain.
Impressively large cranium.
Good list. You guys don't agree with it at all because there's way too many old people. Like, who's behind Phil, Gabe? You got Tiger, Phil, and then who's next?
I mean, in terms of the post-Tiger era, like, Rory's got an opportunity. I mean, because Rory now has the career Grand Slam, he's got the same number of majors as Brooks. So I would say, like, okay, you've got the same number, but Rory's got the Grand Slam, so that breaks the tie for me between those two. So I think Rory is the greatest of the post-Tiger generation.
The real only one that has an argument now other than Rory is Scotty. And if Scotty
he needs to win more majors. He's only got 2, and he's only won 2 at Augusta.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, he's only got 2.
Yeah, that's like the only person you can really write the story of.
Sergio, no?
No, he's only got 1.
He's only got 1 major.
He's only got 1 major. Won the Masters. Yeah, late in his career. Sergio's nowhere near that list.
Wow. Huh. Okay. Oh, good job, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of it's based off of major championships, but Byron Nelson, by the way, was the name I believe
Byron
I was thinking
Nelson,
of.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he won 11 in a row.
Okay. That'll be the last golf list of the year.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, I enjoyed that list. But again, like the fact that you were shocked that I did well with a golf list, like are you paying attention? Have you paid attention at all?
No, I just thought
in the 5 years we've been doing shows together, the 6 years we've been doing shows together.
Yeah, I guess majors matter.
Golf is one of those things where the top list you can argue with the order.
Yeah,
but it's the guys who won the most majors, and that's probably basically it.
Well, and that's what makes Rory winning exciting is because now he can continue to try to climb up that list.
Yeah,
and get into the top 10.
This list would say that the old guys are much better than the new guys.
Because they, again,
no,
I think...
No. Gabe, the equipment cancels out what you're going to say.
I mean, the
equipment
the depth,
cancels it out.
But the depth of field, it brings everybody closer together. I think it's harder to dominate the way that, like, Tiger did or Jack did. But also, like, the reason why Jack and Watson and... Yeah, the fact that Tom Watson wasn't on this list is also kind of insulting.
But if Jack, Gabe, if Jack had Tiger's equipment, it wouldn't even be close.
No, but it brings, it would be. Because the problem is, Chewy, is like Jack was really good at hitting the sweet spot. And the problem with the equipment today is everybody can
the
do it.
The sweet spot's so big.
It's so big. So it like negates the actual ability, right? You want that stuff. Like the fact that Tiger was able to do the things that he was able to do earlier in his career is impressive because of the ball and the equipment that he had to use. Same thing with Jack. Like guys who weren't as good as Jack because he could hit the sweet spot so much would have been brought up closer to his level, making it harder for him to win.
All right. Fair enough.
Again, that's a deep golf nerd conversation that nobody probably wanted me to talk about. But you do want to hear about this, especially with the postseason on the horizon, from the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after. An in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in Six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis, the deep threes from Dame, and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. It's Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now, bucks.com/plus, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff
someone else.
Earlier.
From one white stiff to another. I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Things did not go well for our Brewers last night. Things have not been going well. They've lost three in a row. Got blown out. 9-1 they lost last night at home in Game 1 against the Detroit Tigers. Granted, they were going up against the reigning American League Cy Young winner in Tarik Skubal. So, again, not great. But Pat Murphy, he had some questions about his team after the game. Chew, listen to this.
We didn't make routine plays. We were in the right spot. We didn't take the right angles on balls. Things like that. So, attributed to a long road trip, attributed to a lot of nonsense if you want to. There's always a built-in excuse if you want one, but let's not do that. If we're going to be good, if we're going to be really, really good and competitive, it's concerning that you've been blown out four times in 17 games.
He noted that they've been blown out four times in 17 games, and it wasn't not something that he was pleased about, understandably so. Like how often did you get concerned if you guys got blown out? I mean, that would have been more earlier in your career because you guys were winning so many damn games, in 95, 96, 97.
Yeah.
When you're going to NFC Championship games and the Super Bowls. But, like, if you got blown out, would you take note of that? Was that something like, oh, man, things are just – or is it, okay, just one of those days and move on?
What would you consider a blowout? 20?
In football?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like in the fourth quarter. You know in the fourth quarter, it feels like you're going through the motions a little bit, maybe.
It kind of goes hand in hand with, on your expectations. Like when we played Dallas, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like we were playing them every year, sometimes twice in Dallas. They would beat us pretty handily, and then I'm sure there was a 20-point loss in there, or maybe one or two. But then you look at it like, well, I mean, they're good. They're good. So I know baseball's a little bit different because there are, slumps and streaks and all that stuff. But back when I played in the 90s, you could feel the progression. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
92 was strange because it was my first year there. I think they were 4-12 the year before. Then you go 9-7. So that kind of set the bar there. And every year, I don't think we ever retreated off of a record. I believe we went 9-7 the next year, but then we make the playoffs and won a playoff game. And then the expectations was to get a home playoff game the following year.
Yeah.
And then it was obviously to have multiple playoff games to eventually get to where we got. But blowouts are different in baseball than because you flush them so much quicker.
Yeah,
right?
You
when
have
you
to.
You get blown out. You literally, even though you're beat up and sore, want to play that next game as soon as possible just to get that taste out of your mouth. You know, where baseball, it's usually the next day, right? But when it comes to the Brewers, I know they kind of let everyone back into it, St. Louis, Cincinnati. But I'm not panicky. I'm not worried.
Yeah, look, I mean, again, their pitching staff is leaking a little bit of oil right now. But that's what happens when you're relying on Tyler Alexander's fine. But I think we said this not that long ago. You got to get to the end of this month and hopefully in the beginning of May, some of those reinforcements start making their way to the club. Some guys start getting healthy and you're able to insert more of those guys. I mean, we've seen what Jose Quintana was able to do, you know, but it's about getting other guys healthy that are on the IL right now. And they're just kind of piecing it together from a pitching perspective because they're just so many guys that are injured and on the IL.
We're still only 17 games in.
Yep.
This is the first quarter of a football game in the season, you know, so there's no need to panic. Yeah, they know. I don't think there's much they can do about it, though. It's just kind of that next man up philosophy that we have in football, right? And you just grind through. And your stars got to play like stars, and hopefully a few of the, like I say in football, C players play like B, and then Bs play like A's. But I'm not panicky.
Yeah, but
didn't you expect this a little bit, though?
I expected a little bit. I mean, again, the blowouts is the tough part because the team's been so competitive. But, yeah, blowouts happen in baseball. Like I was at the game last night, and it was over pretty quickly. And then you're wondering, all right, are the Brewers going to get a hit? And then they get one in like the fifth or sixth inning, whatever it ended up happening. So, it's like, okay, well, this game's now over.
So let me ask you this, Gabe. After every game in the NFL, and in college for that fact, the coach talks to the team.
Yeah.
Does that happen in baseball? Or do they just go in there, Murph goes into his office, does his pressing, shower up, and we're out of there? Or does everyone come together after a game?
Yeah, there's not a lot of coming together after the games. You know, maybe if they're coming together, it's like, hey, BP's at this time tomorrow. Or like, hey, plane leaves at this time tomorrow. You know, if you're going to be leaving to go on a road trip or whatever, there's not a lot of, hey, we did this well tonight, we didn't do this well. I mean, they'll probably have some sort of meeting today before, you know. But yeah, there's just, it's a lot more relaxed and casual, I would say, compared to the
yelling.
NFL.
There's no, I mean, what he said to the media, there's no going in front of the team and going, that was embarrassing, fellas. Absolutely embarrassing.
I mean, maybe like when they had the three blowouts in a row earlier this year, you know, when they gave up 20 runs to the Yankees, then lost 12-3, and then came home and got their doors blown off by Kansas City. Maybe there's a little come together, but yeah, I mean, I doubt Pat Murphy is doing a lot of yelling and throwing stuff like you saw in Bull Durham, you know, throwing the bats in the shower.
So typically for us, if you know, we get blown out 20-point game or something like that. After the game, it's not bad. It's the first team meeting on Monday. That's like, oh my God, we're going
to
get just.
Well, because you guys got time to kill. You're only playing once a week. You got to have all these meetings. You're telling me in the NFL, my guess, because the one thing that you hate the most is meet to meet.
Yeah. Meet to meet. Hate it.
Yes. And I'm guessing that started at some point in your NFL career.
Yes, and it typically happened with Mike Sherman because Andy knew, and Mike, you know, in Mike's defense, he came from college, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he came from college right to the pros where Andy had already been there for a while. But Andy knew when your cup started to overflow, you know?
Yeah.
Because there is such a thing as too much information.
Sure.
And then things just start running together, and then you're like, dude, what do I do on this and that? Sherm had to figure it out where Andy knew what was going on, yeah, which was great.
Yeah, but again, you're practicing X amount of hours per day, you've got workouts, you got all these different things. Like baseball, you're playing every day, right? You're getting your body ready to play just about every day. You're not having the, okay, well, the outfielders are going to get together and do this today. Well, and plus, it's just not, it's just more, okay, what are you going to do? Well, just try to take a better route to this ball. You know, you're probably doing individual work with different coaches, but you're not, there's not a ton of, hey, we're going to get the team together and talk about why we sucked yesterday.
Yeah. And they never practice, right, baseball, once the season starts, or very rarely?
I mean, you're working on different things, in batting practice, in nets behind, if you want to take extra ground balls. Like, you can do all that stuff before games, like, as part of your warm-up. Like, I guess that would be the practice portion of, because you're playing every day.
Yeah.
Still got to find time to work on stuff. But, it's just a little bit different. But I thought it was interesting that Murph had noticed and noted, hey, I don't know if we got blown out four times all last year. We've been blown out four times in 17 games. Yeah, I'm not panicking about the Brewers. Just thought it was interesting that Murph had noted that after the game last night. And you should be taking note of mentality, because it doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. Mentality has a motto: leave no man behind. They want to make sure that they are taken care of, not just the men that go in there and deal with low testosterone, but they want to take care of people in the community as well. And Kevin, the founder of Mentality, wants you to feel and perform at your very best. And a friend of Mentality suffered an unthinkable nightmare in January. His teenage daughter was paralyzed after a horrible accident, and Mentality wants to help this family. They're asking you to pitch in as well. Please consider stopping by Mentality for a fundraising event this Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Wauwatosa. The address is 2323 North Mayfair Road. It is where their clinic is, super easy to find just off of Mayfair Road there, basically on the corner of North and Mayfair in the 2323 building. Stop by for 10 minutes, stop by for 30 minutes, stop by for an hour, but they've got silent auctions, 50-50 raffle, food trucks, and free men's health screenings. That's right, free men's health screenings. Stop by, check all this out, and 100% of the money raised is going to go to purchase an Action Track chair for this family. Again, a friend of Mentality suffering that unthinkable nightmare back in January when his teenage daughter was paralyzed after a horrible accident. So all of this taking place in Mentality's office in Tosa, 2323 North Mayfair Road in Tosa, this Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Hope to see you out there.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we, for once, grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
I wanted to put it up on the Xfinity Exteriors poll today, but we were busy with Jason. Or did you just not put it up there, Josh, because, 95% of people use AirPods, and Jason's one of, a handful of people who still use the wired.
No, I totally forgot. I'll put it up right now.
All right, that's fine. We can put it up. But I did have to use my wired headphones last week, 2 weeks ago, because my wife accidentally grabbed my AirPods off of the kitchen counter and took them to work with her.
Are you supposed to clean those?
I mean, I do. I just take a little Q-tip, just kind of, just kind of work around it. Because otherwise,
would you wear someone else's AirPods? Not in a million years.
That's my wife's, whatever.
Shoes.
Probably if. Like, I'm sure the one, wired one we have, I'm guessing, my wife, we kept one. My wife probably wore them once upon a time.
I find the ears more disgusting than the mouth and the nose.
Interesting. Why? We've got 20 seconds left in the show, and I want to ask why.
Well, you kiss a mouth, Gabe. Gabe, you kiss a mouth, so you can't be that offended by the mouth. The stuff that comes out of your nose can be gross, but the ear? I got to clean mine.
I mean,
it's a little waxy buildup.
No,
ears are gross.
Yeah, the nose is grosser.
I don't think so. Pull it tomorrow.
All right, if we remember, we'll pull it tomorrow. Will the Atoush coming up next?